is the Kevin Shi Show.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Kevin Shi Show. It's been a while since I've been recording my podcast. I've been busy with my business, Storage. Lockdown has almost been half a year now in Hong Kong. I mean, 9 months since Europe, actually. So, yeah, nothing to do except to expand a little with my business, find some competitive edge during this downturn. But we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel because I've been vaccinated and we're slowly open up. We got a travel bubble. We can go to Singapore now. So I booked my flight on the 10th. So if anybody's in Singapore in June, let me know. We can meet up. Today we have an episode on digital transformation of businesses. It's by Aaron Pang, my good friend, who helps a big company do a digital transformation. I think it's a very key idea given the times that we're living in. So please enjoy the episode. And if you got any questions or anything, please look me up. I'm Kevin Shi on Facebook, or you can find me on kevin@scstorage.com. Thank you.
Today, we talk about digital transformation of business. I'm here with my friend Aaron Pang. Aaron Pang is a famous author and specialist in digital transformation. Welcome to my show, Aaron.
Thank you, Kevin. My pleasure.
So, Aaron, can you give a bit of background about yourself, how you came into this profession, and just a little bit about yourself, please?
Yep, sure. So I've been working in this field for about 15 years. I first started in my career in sales and project management in Australia. And then back in 2011, I came back to Hong Kong, started getting more involved with different projects, and they're mostly related to, helping organizations to become more effective around three areas, people, process, and technology. And, you know, that's how I stumbled upon a field.
Okay. Does every business need to be transformed digitally? Should we invest in technology?
I think yes and no. It depends on your industry life cycle, whether you're competing in a traditional red ocean or what we so-called blue ocean. And I think it also depends on whether you are running a sunset organization. So I don't think every company needs to throw money in digitizing their organization. And broadly speaking, there are four types of digitization or innovation, right? So the most common type is around process. So companies are really looking at how to use technologies to increase efficiency and productivity gain. That's the most common type, I would say. There's another type which we call, around organizational culture. So if your companies are looking at, for example, how to use DevOps, Agile, and design thinking into innovating more new ideas, I would call it around sort of the organizational cultural innovation. There's also another type around what we call a business domain. So for example, back in, I think it was 2004, 2005, so Amazon came up with AWS, right? And the reason they came up with that was because they were managing a large portfolio of products and companies, and they needed a much more effective way to manage their business, and which was why they created that business, right? And the last one is around business model innovation, right? So if we look at a few examples, like Netflix, for example. So Netflix, when they started off 10, 15 years back, they didn't have the same business model that they have today. They started off as a DVD rental business, but they saw a pain point in the industry where, if you remember Blockbuster, back in my days, I used to, you know, drive to Blockbuster and to rent a couple of DVDs and watch them at home, right? But one of the pain points that a lot of people were facing back at the time is you had to physically go to the store to return the DVDs. And if you don't make it by the agreed time, you get a penalty from it, right? So Netflix sort of look at that pain point from an industry perspective and came out and say, okay, you don't need to go back and return to the DVDs. You can just simply put the DVDs back in the post box, And then every time you wanted to rent something, someone will basically post the DVDs directly and ship them directly at your door. So that was the initial model that Netflix came out with. And other than that, we also look at, you know, iTunes and also Spotify, right? They really reinvented the way people buy music and sort of purchase contents. So we used to, for example, buy a CD, and the CD will include, you know, 10 or 15 songs. But there weren't a way for people to, I guess, to subscribe to a service, and then you can listen to unlimited songs, right? So that was around sort of the business model innovation. So broadly speaking, there are four types.
So digital transformation starts with a pain point that the industry, the customers is facing, not to add some IT or some stuff for IT's sake. Did you agree with that?
Yes, I agree with that. And I think there's also another aspect of it. Sometimes innovation is underpinned by, I guess, a customer pain point. But sometimes customers don't really know what they really want, right? Okay, if you look at a couple of examples, if you look at Ford, for example, if Henry Ford had asked their customers what they really wanted, he probably got, you know, the customers will probably tell them they want a faster horse, right? And if Steve Jobs asked people what type of phone that they wanted, you know, 15, 20 years back, we probably wouldn't end up getting the buttonless, the swiping phone that we're getting today. So I would say, you know, sometimes ideas will come from a customer pain point, but sometimes it really comes down to, you know, sort of the creative and innovative thinking from founders like Elon Musk, Jeff, and Steve Jobs and the like.
There are not too many Elon Musk and Jeff and all that in the world.
There's a lot of Kevin Shee.
Do you think as a small business, medium enterprise, you should just follow the trend, see where the world's going, or see what your competitor is doing, and just follow and keep on investing? Because technology is not like asset. I mean, sometimes you invest in technology and it doesn't pay out, and technology always depreciate. I mean, a computer today is going to work maybe 1/10 in about 5 years. So how do you measure success? I mean, what are some of the KPIs that you measure success? Sure, you transform your company digitally, but if your cost is so much, is it worth it? What are some of the success KPI that you measure to see if your project is successful?
Yep. I think every successful transformation needs to be led by a clear purpose. Exactly like what you just mentioned. I think the trap, and I call that FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. And, so, and I think some companies fall into that trap of, you know, my competitors are spending on new technologies. They are spending on, you know, creating this and that. And I should allocate, you know, parts of my budget towards technologies or IT or whatsoever. I think having a clearly defined strategy is important, and also understanding how the emerging technologies are changing the ecosystem, both within your industry and also in your adjacent industry, is also quite important as well.
So you've got to understand what the future will hold. For example, when people start using Netflix, when they start streaming video online, the speed is probably slow, but he would anticipate the internet speed would only get faster and faster with time.
Yeah.
So you have to be on the right side of change. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, correct. I mean, I think the reason why I guess things are transforming so rapidly these days is because it is backed by different enablers. I would say it's backed by obviously the information technology. You know, if the internet wasn't as fast as what we have today, right, it'd be very hard for us to, you know, for people to buy smartphones, for example. You know, what's the point of getting an Apple smartphone if the internet is slow, or, you know, if the latency of the application is quite significant and the user experience is just not there. So technology plays a huge role in that, in a sense that, you know, things are getting cheaper, faster and better.
Do you think that because of technology, some company that is not your competition right now could become your competition in the future?
Yeah, very much. And I think one of the disruption that technology has an impact on is really around traditional enterprise value chain, right? Like in the past, a lot of companies would look at upstream and downstream vertical integration. And basically the more steps you own along your value chain, the better you may be in position in terms of lowering the cost of production, for example, right? If you look at a lot of the manufacturers, some of the manufacturers in retail companies, they've slowly gone downstream acquisition integration, and they end up with, you know, multiple chain stores where they distribute the products, for example. But, you know, people are moving online these days. And if you look at, for example, Hong Kong TV Mall, for instance, their online transactions double compared to competitor that of last year.
Do you think a lot of industries winners take all?
I think it,
in a sense, if I were to make another, you know, Hong Kong TV Mall or another Amazon, mm-hmm. if I'm 3, 4, 5 years late in the game, is that too late already? And then you think they would take the entire market? You should just give up, or you should still do a digital transformation?
I think for Hong Kong, it's probably more of a winner-takes-all market. It's because Hong Kong is quite small, right? But if you look internationally, if you look at Australia, US, and Europe, I think the market is big enough to be able to accommodate multiple players. Just take an example, right? So in Hong Kong, there are about 8 virtual banks that's been launched in the last couple of years, and it's about 3 to 4 virtual insurers, but they all have different value propositions. So some virtual banks, they focus more on sort of the credit card offerings, and some might focus more on sort of the saving deposits, and some might focus more on sort of the overall customer experience journey compared to traditional banks. So I think at the end of the day, as a leader of an organization, you need to know, I guess, your total addressable market and whether it's big enough to accommodate more than 2 players offering the same services or same products to your customers, and how do you actually differentiate amongst your competition.
Okay. Yeah. What kind of advice do you give to people who want to transform their business? Can you use the same core staff, or do you need somebody with, you know, a bigger vision, or like the same management people can go through the digital transformation, or do you need a new blood?
Yeah, I think there are a few things people will need in an organization in order to make a transformation smooth and successful. And in my next book, I cover 5 key elements, which I think are quite important. And I think one of the things you already mentioned, Kevin, having a great visionary leader in an organization is quite important. And having that visionary CEO and also at the senior management level will create clarity and direction for the rest of the organization. So for large-scale enterprise-wide transformation, it's really hard to start from bottom up. You really need the buy-in from the CEO, right? So, I mean, just take for example, when an employee came up to you with an idea that they want to spend $10 million on your business, and which is going to, you know, help you this and that, what are you going to say, Kevin?
Okay.
Right? And the second thing is, I think there also needs to be a learning culture in the organization to encourage mistakes. Some examples that we can look at, for example, is one of the failures, for example, Coca-Cola. Everyone knows Coca-Cola, right? One of the famous examples famous failures that Coca-Cola had back in the 60s was they launched a new Coca-Cola with a new formula. So they spent a lot of tons of money on marketing campaign and rebranded, you know, under the new Coke recipe. And they did that because they did a limited sample with, I forgot it was 50 or 100 people. And apparently the results from that limited sample told Coca-Cola that they prefer a sweeter recipe, which is similar to Pepsi at the time. And they blindly followed the results of this sample and decided to rebrand the home cell, change the recipe, right? And to the organization, and that was a quite a big mistake, right? Back in the 60s, but the CEO came out and said,
the recent CEO came out and said that, you know, if and he famously said that, you know, if we are not failing, we're probably not trying hard enough, right? Okay. And another example, if you look at Netflix, the CEO came out and said, so one day they were having an internal meeting and the CEO looked at the show cancellation rate and it was quite low. And then the CEO said, the cancellation rate is so low, probably because we're not taking enough risks, right? So internally, there needs to be this culture where you actually encourage people to make more experiments and to make more risky decisions. And the third one, I think, is around people, right? So I, in my previous job, I worked for, Hong Kong Institute of HAICPA, so Hong Kong Institute of Certified Public Accountants. Quite a bit of accounting knowledge there. So I think one of the things that people need to rethink is how they want to treat people, right? If you put people under sort of liabilities, then your natural reaction will always be to cut costs because you see them as liabilities. But if you put people under the bracket assets, then what do you do with assets? You invest, right? You wouldn't divest assets. So I guess some assets you would. So I guess this approach towards having a more people-centric strategy is also important.
People leave, you know? If you have a house, it stays with you.
Yeah.
People leave and they start their own company. So how can you see it as an asset?
Well, I guess depends on how you look at it, right? If people are leaving your organization because they're getting better offer, it probably implies that you're doing quite well in terms of employee development in your organization, and they're getting important skill sets that they can get hired from somewhere else. So I don't necessarily look at that as a bad thing. And I guess one of the responsibilities as a leader is also to help coach the next generation, to also help them succeed. Yeah. And also, back to the factors and the fourth and the fifth one that I've commented on is basically around having a structure that would allow, agility and speed around the organization. A lot of the corporate structures that we have established these days are really based upon, efficiency and sort of mass production around what you call the scientific management approach. Mm-hmm. And that was developed, 40, 50 years ago. So, and that was done around, giving people, jobs, responsibilities, having different layers so that, not all the decisions will bottleneck at the senior level. But I question whether that still applies, in this day and age when technology is changing so quickly. If you look at Apple, for example, they're running one P&L across, the entire organization. One of the first things, that Steve Jobs did when he returned to his role as the leader was he get rid of all the general managers in this company in the first year after he joined, right? Okay. And that became one functional organization. Yeah. So having a structure that supports innovation is also important. And lastly is around the metrics that you brought up, Kevin. Always tie your innovation to either revenue or cost improvement metrics.
Okay.
And don't just give these metrics to your digital team or to your innovation team. You really got to make this a collective metric that is shared amongst the CEO and the leadership team, as well as the people who are taking charge of the innovation in the organization.
Do you think Asian companies or like family run companies are less capable of digital transformation compared to like the West or like to multinational or startup companies? Do you think they have the commitment or what do you think? How do you see the East-West different culture will have an effect on digital transformation commitment?
I would say I actually don't see a difference. I think it really depends on the leadership, right? And a lot of the second and third generation who have had sort of overseas education are now in leadership positions. One of the examples that I could think of, for example, was so this year we had a lot of outbreaks in Hong Kong, right? And one of the recent pandemic outbreaks happened to be in one of the shopping malls, K11, in Hong Kong. And there was an outbreak in one of the restaurants. And I think the leadership team and also the entire organization, New World Development, they did a really good job because they really turned a crisis into an opportunity. Within weeks, within days or within hours, they invited all of the medical experts to do an inspection of the entire shopping mall and also on the restaurant to make sure that the air ventilation is safe for the shopper. And then within days, they purchased, I think it was about 11 robots, which would spray disinfectant within the entire shopping mall, and they did a video to promote that. So as soon as it opened, after 2 weeks, the mall was packed again with visitors because they really instilled a lot of trust in the shoppers that the company really looked after the issue seriously and they really responded really quickly. So I think there was one example, I think as an Asian company has done quite well because the senior leadership team is already run by, you know, sort of the second, third generation, which is a bit more open-minded in terms of collaboration and also leveraging different technologies that can help make the world better.
So if there's a listener that runs a company that needs your help for digital transformation, how can they reach you or buy your book?
My next book should probably come out around June, July. You can also reach me. I'm currently working for UI. So we provide different consulting advisory services. So one of the key offerings or key things that we are offering is to help different companies of different stages to look at how we can use technologies, people or sort of operation measures to help make their company better and so that they can deliver their strategy and value propositions.
All right. Thank you very much, Aaron.
You're welcome, Kevin. Thanks for having me on the show.
What's the name of your new book?
I actually don't have a name yet. I'm still thinking of the name.
So let us know. Let us know soon. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Bye.
Thanks for listening. For details on this episode, go to kevinshee.com. That's Kevin, SHEE.com.